I mean, ready to preach, Mom? All right. Huh?
You've been wanting to do that song.
I've been begging Mom to do that song. And the next week, we're going to have a song that my daughter's been begging her to play, and it's called G-Wagon. Joking. And that's a bad joke. What does it say up here? I've had this all wrong. I've had this all wrong, you guys. You hear me screaming up here and you hear me preaching. Frank, you are a brave man. You always sit up here and I'm spitting Gatorade out.
I'm ready every week.
It's a short message today, guys, and I really mean this because what does this say? You notice I sent my wife out of here before I said my confession, amen. I've been selfish. I've had this thing kind of all wrong. So my confession this morning is when I say I've been selfish, it means a lot to me. And for those of you who won't like this message today, you can thank Christy Miller for it. Christy, yeah! Raise your hand, Christy! Oh, she turned me on to a pastor by the name of Dan Moeller. For those of you who have not YouTubed her or YouTubed him or seen him, please do it. He is phenomenal and he has opened my eyes to so many things that I've had this all wrong. And when I say this, everything I've preached has been from my heart and I try to stay as biblical as I can, but as applicable as I can. I try to tell you what God tells me through the story, but I have been selfish. And can I tell you something that you're not going to like? I was born this way and so were you. I was born this way. See, I didn't always realize this because I was born. Oh, Mom, we had a great life. In fact, sometimes growing up on the log cabin out there, we would have kids who would spend the night who would cry when they went home because they say, I wish I could live with your mom and dad. I wish I could live there. And the reason they said that is not because Mom and Dad are perfect. It's because they're together. Amen? I'd have friends spend the night with me that their dad's a drug addict or their dad left their mom or their mom and dad leave them home when they're like 7 years old and go to the casino at night and come back. They just didn't have the life we had, Mom. So I thought that's how I was born and I had it all together. Amen? But I was not. See, I was born selfish and so were, what's the word? So were you. And that's biblical. From the moment Adam and Eve ate of the fruit out of the tree in the Garden of Eden, they were selfish. That's who we come from. Yes, God made us and He made us in His image, but we were born this way. And when I say I was born this way, I have let this slip into my relationship with God because I'm going to show you a picture. This has been my relationship with God for a long time. Who is that? A genie. That has been my view and my relationship of God for too long. My mom baptized me when I was a Methodist baby. But I sat back about where the Flemings are sitting. Judy, right where you guys are and Terry. In the Methodist church at about that seat on a concert in Ashland, where I raised my hand and I gave my life to Christ. And my life was a mess and I thought it was just going to be great. And my view of God for too long was that, see that little bottle in the bottom left-hand corner of the screen? That when my life's not going well, I'm just going to rub God like this and He's going to come out and say, What do you need? You need to, God, please help me lose 30 pounds. Nope. You never do that. No, God, please, can you heal me? God, please, can you make my relationship better? God, please, you know, I've made a bad choice here, and now I'm up against it, and I know I haven't talked to you for like 8 months, but now I'm going to rub your little genie bottle so you come out, because since I gave my life up for you, or since I gave my life to you, and you died on the cross for me, this was my view of God, that I will summon God when I need him. Got this all screwed up, Mom. I have this all screwed up. I want you to listen to this. This is Paul writing to the church in Philippi. And I really need you to clue into these words. Paul's in prison. Can you say prison? Paul says, I want you to know, dear ones, that the situation and what has happened to me has not hindered me, but it has helped my ministry of preaching the gospel. It has caused it to expand and to spread to many people, even more people than if I was not in prison, because now the Roman guards and the government officials that have overseen my imprisonment, they have plainly recognized that I am here because of my love for Jesus. The situation that I'm in, Paul says, I am in prison. It is not hindering me at all. Situations. What does that say under there? We all what? Oh, we have situations. Frank, I know I picked on you, but you're first. I'm not going to. I could start with you and work through the Rodas family and work through here and then work through each and every person. If you're being honest, you have a situation. Amen? Or as my grandpa would say, you got a situation. Situations, we all have them. But what do we usually do with our situations? Complain? Right? Look around. Let the situations that are around us dictate. They actually dictate how we act to other people and sometimes even how we act to God. But you need to remember an important truth today. God did not do your situation to you. He did not do anything to you. He is actually with you through it. Amen? God didn't do anything to you. He did not. The worst catastrophe in your life, he didn't do it to you. He's with you through it. And you may say amen to that, but the truth is, we don't live like that. You see, a very important thing happened. Look at this screen. I didn't think it would be like this. I literally thought that when I gave my life to Jesus, it would be like I was coming up here and I could sit in the proverbial pastor seat and I could say, God, I give it all up to you. God, I give all of my shortcomings up to you. I give my addictions up to you. I give my relationship up to you. I even give the situations that happen around me up to you. And then I sit here, you guys, and I wait. And I wait for God to serve me. I wait for the situations to come in my life, sometimes that I even do myself, so that I can rub that bottle one more time. And out comes the genie, and he'll answer every single wish. I had this all wrong. Pastor Dan Moeller in a message said that when he was a pastor, people would come to him and they would say, Pastor, I need you to pray for me because I'm just hanging on. I can't make it. Pastor, you need to pray for me right now because I just don't have the strength to do it and the devil's really talking to me. Do you know what Pastor Dan Moeller said? that when people come to him and they say, the devil's really talking to me, do you know what he says to them? Good. Yeah, and they get some looks like that. Pastor, the devil talking to me is good. Yes, it's good. Do you know why? The devil is the father of all lies. Amen? The devil does not have an ounce of truth in him. So Frank, when the devil tells you you're not strong enough, what's the opposite of that lie? You are more than strong. Flip it and you have your answer. Susie, when the devil tells you that you can't go on one more day and you're just hanging on, flip it. And you're not hanging off a cliff, you're standing on top of a mountain with the King. When the devil tells me, look, Bobby, you are too fat to preach, I flip it and then I realize God can't do anything with my weight. Listen to Paul's words one more time. This is what I love. It is so clear to the Roman guards and the people that are overseeing my imprisonment. It is so clear, and they have plainly recognized that I am here in my situation because I love Jesus. God did not send Jesus to die for you to hang on. That's not the life He wants for you. That's not the life He wants for me. I know there are seasons that are difficult. I know there are seasons where we pray to make it till tomorrow, but that's not from God. He sent Jesus to die for you so that you could be changed into His image and actually help other people. Amen? Whatever situation, will you raise your hand in here if you're in a situation or you know someone in your life that's in a situation right now that could use a little bit of God? Am I the only one? Woo, look at this. And for some of you, you can put your hands down. For some of you, you've been blaming your spouse. For some of you, you've been blaming bad luck. For some of us, we've made bad choices. But for some of us, we've blamed God. We have. God, I don't know why you have me here, but you don't blame God. Realize today, that you may be right where you're at because you love Jesus. Amen? This table right here. Jesus stood here, reclined here actually, with his 12 disciples. He had told them how much he loved them. He had told them how much what was going to happen to him. He told them that he was going to have to die for them. Some agreed with him, some stayed quiet, some didn't know what was going on. In essence, Jesus was saying, boys, I'm in a situation. And boys, you're going to be in a situation. And FCC, you're going to be in a situation. Amen? And the reason you're going to be in a situation isn't because you're bad people. It's not because you've made bad choices. It's not because I'm going to do something to you. It's because you love me. Realize that. Be happy that you're in the situation you're in because you love Jesus so much. I had a pastor tell me one time, listen, FCC. If you're running along in life and you have no opposition and you have no wind against you and you have no obstacles, you're probably running with the devil. The devil doesn't need to put any obstacles in front of somebody who's already part of his relay team. Amen? But if you're standing behind this table and you take the bread that was broken and you take it inside of you and you say, Jesus, I stand with you. I'm going to use a term from a song that is not very pastoral, but for men, it would be like peeing into the wind. You're going to have some opposition. You're going to have some situations. You're going to have some heartache. But Jesus said, I am more than enough. I want you to take this bread. I have broken this bread, and it is symbolic of my body that is broken for you because you are going to need it, because you are going to be in a situation. And he blessed the cup, and he said, boys, I want you to take a drink of this wine, and it is symbolic of the blood that I am going to shed for you. Why, Jesus? Why are you talking like this? Because you're going to be in a situation. So FCC today, when this crackers are passed, and when this grape juice is passed, don't just put it into your mouth without thinking. Don't put it into your mouth without thinking of the situation either you have going on, your daughter has going on, your school has going on, the Gretna community has going on. Don't just take it in without thinking what it means in your life. What it means is that when you swallow the cracker, things are going to get tough. Not every pastor is going to preach that to you, but that is biblical and it is true. When you take the juice, not everything's going to be smooth sailing this week. Not because you're bad, not because you have bad luck, but because you're part of the team. You see, we didn't think it would be like this. I thought this was a magic cracker and magic juice and I would have no problems. And I wouldn't have sweating as a side effect. And I wouldn't have chronic leukemia. God didn't do it to me. He's with me through it. If you're able to stand this morning, I ask you to stand. I ask you to stand as we prepare our hearts for communion. And you think of the situations in your life, but you think of them as an opportunity. You think of them as an opportunity to do better. You think of them as an opportunity, like Paul said, this is not going to hinder me. This is not going to hinder me. Today when I go to Casey's before church, and they have three workers there, but they only have one cash register open, I'm not going to let that situation cause me to ruin the rest of my day. Tomorrow when I get bad news at work, maybe I didn't get a raise that I thought I was going to get, I'm not going to let that ruin me. I'm going to let it not hinder me. Amen? And the only way we can do that is by sharing in God's amazing love. Let's sing this together as the elders come forward, proclaiming to God that we're forgiven, proclaiming that we are accepted, and proclaiming and thanking God for the situations we're in today. What an amazing love. Amen. Let's go, Mom.